The Golden Hour, a novel by Beatrice Williams. Performed by Cassandra Campbell and Saskia Marleveld. To women and men everywhere who live with depression. You are loved. You are needed. The night will pass. In August 1940, the Duke of Windsor is appointed governor of the Bahamas by his brother, George VI, on the recommendation of Winston Churchill. While the former king feels the appointment is beneath his station, he accepts, in the expectation that loyal service in this colonial outpost will lead to more prestigious assignments in the future. But despite an exemplary public record of governorship for the duration of the Second World War, and the energetic support of the Duchess of Windsor as the governor's wife, the Duke is never again asked to serve his country in an official capacity. Part 1. Lulu. December 1943, London. In the foyer of the Basel Hotel in Cadogan Gardens, atop the tea-colored wallpaper, a sign advises guests that blackout hours will be observed strictly. Another sign reminds us that enemy ears are listening. The wallpaper is crowded with tiny orange flowers that seem to have started out life as pink. And they put me in mind of a story I once read about a woman who stares at the wallpaper in her room until she goes batty. Although that wallpaper was yellow, as I recall. So I may have some time to go. I consult my watch. 3:22. Outside the windows, the air is darkening fast. Some combination of coal smoke and December fog in the early hour at which the sun goes down at this latitude, as if the wallpaper and the signboards and the piles of rubble across the street aren't enough to make you melancholy. I checked the watch again. 3:23. Impossible. And my gaze happens to catch that of the desk clerk. He's examining me over the top of a rickety pair of reading glasses because he hasn't liked the look of me from the beginning. Why should he? A woman shows up at your London hotel in the middle of December, the middle of wartime, tanned skin, American accent, unmistakable scent of the foreign about her. She pays for her room in advance and carries only a small suitcase. Now she's awaiting some no-good rendezvous right in the middle of your dank, shabby, respectable foyer, and you ought to telephone the authorities just to be on the safe side. In fact, you probably have telephoned the authorities. The clerk's gaze flicks to the window, and then to the clock above the mantel behind me. He steps away from the reception desk and goes to pull down the blackout shades, to close the heavy chintz curtains. His limbs are frail and stiff. His suit was tailored in maybe the previous century. When he moves, his white hair flies away from his skull, and I catch a whiff of cologne that reminds me of a barber shop. I consider whether I should rise and help him. I consider whether he'd kill me for it. Well, not kill me, exactly. Not the literal act of murder. It seems the killing of people has got inside my head somehow. War will do that. War will turn killing into a commonplace act. A thing men do to each other every day, every instant, for no particular reason except not to be killed yourself. So that you start to expect it everywhere. Murder hangs darkly over you and around you like an atmosphere. The valley of the shadow of death. That's war. Killing for no particular reason. At least in regular life, when somebody kills somebody else, he generally has a damned good reason. At least so far as the killer's concerned. It's personal. It's singular. As I observe the feathery move.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?